Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Cardi Cam, put it up, fam.
Damn,
three stripes, baby.
Yeah,
beat down.
You ain't no shit.
I said, bullshit, stand up,
stand up.
The beans on city, fam, bullshit, stand up.
Say the name.
Oh, yeah.
One time, where we at?
Oh,
bring it back home with the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat down slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Tessie, y'all want Cardi. C-Dot, Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life shows a vibe, start a riot like this. From South down to Southie, Roxbury, Metapan, Georgia, Somerville, Winter Hill, J.B., E.C., Nancy. Y'all want Cardi, Everett, Morgan, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes. Man, y'all know what it means. Y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans.
All shit, stand up, stand up. The beans, your city, fair, all shit, stand up, stand up. The beans, your city, all shit, stand up, stand up. The beans, your city, fair, all shit, stand up.
Set a fire to the aching place, double parking rust out. Middle finger up every rapper in the city. Cause y'all hate me just like New York City. I'm not trying to be anyone and no man. Follow no path, I take no lead. I'm just like you, mean mugging on the sea. Waking up them stairs that smell like tea. Aggravated, frustrated, Charlie passing death. Line around the block for them Dunkin' Donuts. Walking into traffic like an organ donor. Every street's a one way. There's no luck in the city, everybody rocks clover. 30 degrees and I'm wearing shorts. The 525 fucked up the weather report.
All shit, stand up, stand up. The beans on city, fair, all shit, stand up, stand up. The beans on city, all shit, stand up, stand up. The beans on city, fair, all shit, stand up, stand up.
You seen them little stairs in front of that parking spot. Ain't cause the owners like to sit there a lot. You seen the snowman?
I ain't no
snowman. Union workers stand around doing nothing. Got another big dig, 100 million carry. Wicked stupid, you was tired of something. My war burn, making millions for talking. Just call me Mad Payment cause I'm good with a hunting. These honeys out in Newberry, paid for my February. They love my crime, shout out, you see Fight Club. See me out with Ernie Barr, better bring your black card. 9 May 8, everything about this. As long as the proof stand it, I'm about this. So boss it.
This sort of revolution.
The hottest rap alive, how do you act? It's a lucid.
Hello, 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 everyone. How's it going?
Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show.
Oh, yeah, baby. We're here. We're back. We're back. We're cool.
That song was just an awesome, awesome, awesome song.
It is. It was Boston in the building. Not just Boston, but everybody else that's out there. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you. I am so glad that you're all here. I see everybody in the chat room, Betty, Bob, Brenda. Hey, Brenda. Degree, welcome. Infamous Angel, Keith, Robert, Rosemary, Starlight, William, of course, Mountain Man. Hold on, we got somebody. Hi, and William hiding at the thing at the end. There we go. We got everybody
William.
In the building. I know, I could barely see him on the end of my thing. Has it been cold or what, people?
It's
Holy
been
moly.
Cold.
It has. Well, it's been ridiculous. But baseball season's underway. We have spring training in Orlando and Fort Myers and Winter Haven. So that, to me, is when spring officially starts, and I get excited because I know it's not that much longer before actually start thawing out in this end over here. So kind of looking forward
wow.
to that. I can't wait. Oh, man, we have an exciting show today. We have a real treat. We were supposed to have Julie Kinchek on the show. As you guys know, we have some of her songs that we've been playing. Unfortunately, the poor thing's been sick as a dog with that thing that's been going around, and it's affected her voice. So she couldn't be on the show tonight because she's sick. But we are rescheduling her for a later time. But we actually have, we're going to have later on in the show, just a great treat. We have, as usual, the dynamo, Shelly Nunchucks, who's going to be in the building. And yes, and she's going to have two of her cohorts with her. We're going to have the multi-talented Bill McLean, who's going to come in and talk to us about some exciting news about his great movie that he made, Scooter Magruder. So we're going to let him talk to you guys about that and the amazing news that he has. And we're going to also have Justin Fielding. Now, Justin Fielding also worked with Shelly Nunchucks in a movie called Inventory. It's a short film. Very funny film. You guys got to check it out. We're going to have him in there and talk about that as well. It seems that every time Shelly works on a project, she's got the little golden touch. It's like these movies go on to do great things. You guys remember Crosby Tandem. We had him on the show a while back. She also worked on one of his shows called All for One. And his show actually got picked up for distribution. So that's going to actually become an internet series. And Shelly actually had a part in there as well. And there's a couple of other projects that are coming down the road that Shelly has been involved with. Like I said, she's got the golden touch. Anytime she works on something, I'm definitely want to be there because it seems her stuff always gets picked up and goes places. Not to mention, she's just a nice person and she deserves it. For those of you listening, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled WMN for you to check out the segment page. Jump into the chat room with everybody else that's in there tonight. Also, you can hear us on iTunes, or if you have an iPhone, we're on there as well. You can go to the, if you have a smartphone, you can go online on your smartphone and listen to us that way as well on your mobile app for Blog Talk Radio. Awesome.
And I think you can also go on, I think if you have a Droid phone, you could also look us up on that one as well.
As well, you can get the mobile app for that as well. Also, if you're hankering to call us and talk to our guests or just talk to us or just say, hey, what up? We welcome phone calls. We like phone calls in the studio. The number is 1-347-989-1473. For those of you that incur a charge when you call us, we are big time. We have a call-free number. Call a toll-free number, 1-877-907-7217. So, yes, that's the numbers for you guys to reach us and to be able to listen to our show. If you can't listen to us live, you're more than welcome to go to the segment page and listen to us afterward. You can download it, or you can just listen to it on iTunes, so you do not have to download it, and it doesn't take up space on your computer, unless, of course, you happen to want us to take space up on your computer. That's fine. Infamous Angel Girls talking about watching American Idol. Yes, we did watch some of it. I actually only watched the guys this week because I didn't have a chance to watch the girls. But for those of you watching it, a lot of amazing talent on there. I have to say, for those of you that have watched the show in the past because it's been on for so many years, I really think that the producers bringing on multi-talented people like Steven Tyler, who has been around for years, multi-platinum, big-time artist, as well as J-Lo, who's a triple threat. She's a dancer, a singer, and an actress, businesswoman. You can really tell how much the caliber of the talent that they're picking to bring on the show has changed. In the past, I noticed that Paula Abdul would be like, oh, I feel bad for this person, let me pick them. It's not exactly that caliber of artist. I noticed this time they really hit it on the nail. It's going to be a tough choice. They're going to have a tough choice really picking who, because I think any of those people on the show could really go on and really make it anywhere in the music industry. Another thing I wanted to talk about, I know this is cheesy, but my daughter, Jessie, she does ballroom dancing, so kind of got into it a little bit. What is that?
Oh,
Dancing
here
with
we
the
go.
Stars. Yes, Dancing with the Stars. I was kind of excited because they brought out the roster of who they're going to have on. I'm telling you, some of the people they picked, I was like, really? I don't know. Do you watch that at all, Mountain Man?
I do not watch Dancing with the Stars. And just for those who are in our chat room, I saw a question up there, and I caught the last act of last night's show.
Which one?
And I actually, the last performer before they
ended the show. Oh, American Idol, yes, yes, yes.
American Idol, I've been talking about. And
yes. So what did you think?
I actually thought that, hey, Andy. That the last performer...
Andy! What? Oh! Go ahead, I'm sorry. I got excited. I haven't seen Andy in 2 weeks, so it's like, Andy,
you need your Andy things, huh?
Hold on, I got to give him my happy dance. And you can see me, I'm doing my happy dance. Andy in the building, Andy in the building. Okay, go ahead. I'm done.
Anyhow, I got to get myself a little organized here. I actually
We really are professional. We are. We really are. We don't need to keep interrupting each other. Anyway, go ahead, Mountain Man. You were talking about you caught the last performance last night of the girls, because that's what you were watching. And what did you think?
Yeah, well, I thought she actually did good. And I am actually praying for a particular individual who I've talked about a couple times, wanting to come on the show with you, Charlie.
Yes.
She actually went to, well, let me back up there.
Back it up.
I think, back it up. I apologize, folks. I go on too many different subjects at one time. Anyhow, the performer that I saw, I hope that they do not, is that who it is, Infamous Angel? If that's who it is, then I hope she does not get kicked off the show. Because I actually was hearing her, and I heard just a little bit of her performance last night. And it actually blew me away. I'm like, oh,
well,
my
thing
goodness.
Well, the thing, they've been like that the whole time. That's what blows my mind is that I know I was listening to the guys, and they had this kid there. Sounded exactly like Rod Stewart, and except for the fact that his voice isn't as raspy. It's kind of like a younger version of Rod Stewart, and he actually wound up singing a Rod Stewart song. Literally, if you had closed your eyes, you couldn't tell the difference. But he had like his own flavor to it. It was amazing. And then there was another kid that did a country song that killed it. I mean, it was just like, and every artist that they showed, and one of the kids was like 17 years old, and he just went in there, and just the way that he sung the song, it literally made you feel like he was just singing specifically just to you, kind of thing, like you were the only person in the room, and that's very magical when an artist can do that, and that's one of the things that I find this year that has really blown my mind, because for a while there, American Idol really was getting kind of jokey, you know, they were just picking people for a stunt, and, you know, people that really weren't talented were being put on there, so it was kind of like not really what I was into. I mean, I'm the type that I want to see real talent. I want to see someone go out there and wow me, because that's what real talent is, and for me especially because we're working with young talent or unknown talent in my local area. When I see someone that doesn't deserve it getting shine, it's not a hatred thing or anything. It's just kind of I feel like it's an insult to the true artist when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that they're doing that. And it was funny, too, talking about Dancing with the Stars. One of the people that's going to be on it is Christy Alley. Now, for those of you that are older, you remember Christy Alley was very popular back in the 80s and 90s. And I don't know why the media just loves ragging on this poor woman. They just love ragging on the fact that she has weight problems. You know what? Cut it out, people. Really? I'm kind of hoping that she goes on the show and does well because I'm kind of getting annoyed with the negativity out there. It's just I'm not big on it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not big into reading the so-called, you know, rag mags or the tabloids, just because I don't find pleasure in reading something that's cutting people down. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Another thing I want to bring up. I'm going to bring this up because, like I said, we have some extra time since Julie wasn't able
to be on the show. We're going to have to fill in. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I want to bring out there, and I know this is a hot topic. Everybody has, in this area in particular, is a hot topic for me. This is a hot topic for Andy, too. I don't know if you guys are familiar that for the last couple of years, when there have been military funerals, there has been this religious group, and I use the term loosely, religious group, that purposely will go to these soldiers' funerals and have these signs, and they protest at the funeral. And the signs, to say the least, just the most negative hatred thing that you can imagine. And one of the things that gets me is that these people profess to be religious, profess to be there in the name of God. One thing I've learned, and I have the utmost respect for all religions. All religions I will respect because the scriptures tell us wherever two or more are united in my name, there I will be. He does, you know, it doesn't specifically say, you know, if it's the Catholic Church or the Mormon Church or the Jewish Church. No, he's talking, if you guys are there, with good intentions, talking about me, I shall be there. Awesome. One of the things I've learned about God in my personal relationship that I've built with him over the years is the word God hates impossible. Impossible. God hates nothing. God has no tolerance for certain things. There are certain things that cannot come before him in his eyes. Not once, ever, in any scripture or anything that I've read, does the words God hates appear. So when these people who profess to be there in the name of God and they profess to be a religion have the gall to make these cards that say God hates blank, 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 and I'm not going to even repeat this because it doesn't even dignify being spoken out loud because God doesn't hate anybody. And one of the things I want you listeners to understand is I don't care what your view is about anything. I don't care how you feel about same-sex marriage or homosexuals or the war in Iraq or any of that, because that is irrelevant. That's how we as humans label people. But in God's eyes, every single one of us is one of his children, and he loves us. That's all there is to it. No matter whether we make good choices or bad choices, he loves us. So these people have the gall to sit there and make up these signs saying God hates. So to say it's a hot topic for me was to go to a funeral of one of the kids that went to school with my son. He got killed in Iraq. And then to see these people have the audacity to protest and actually being saying that they're grateful that the soldier died because God wanted him to die as punishment. It just blows my mind. I can't even comprehend that. And for me, I'm not the one losing this child, yet I did lose this child because he was on my son's football team. I had conversation with him when he was interested in going into the military because his dad was in the military. So I had a personal relationship with him. And for them to have the gall to show up and disrupt and cause additional pain to the family at a time of great loss just was beyond me. So needless to say, I wasn't in favor of it. My human side, my emotional side, kept saying, arrest them, get rid of them. They have no space here. They shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be allowed. But then people decided, okay, we're going to sue whatever. Anyway, fast forward to yesterday when the Supreme Court decision came, because this case had gone through the whole system for the last few years. The Supreme Court ruled that these people are protected under the First Amendment right, which means they have every right as an American citizen with protection under the Constitution in the First Amendment to stand there and say the things and do the things they say. Now, I'm going to bring this up because I know that people have ticked off about this, saying that the United States thinks this isn't right, all these things. It's not the point. It's not the point, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here because as much as it galls me, as much as it aggravates me that this is going on in America, we have to flip
and
it to the other side.
I can't say much to what you say, Charlie, because to be honest with you, I don't, to me, I feel bad for everyone who is overseas in our fights mm-hmm. right now. Okay,
right.
I do feel that, okay? But I'm not going to sit here and look at the TV and watch,
mm-hmm.
oh, this person died fighting his country for whatever the reason may be.
Right.
Okay, I don't like that, number one. Number
mm-hmm.
two, for people who've been with us on this show for as long as they have, they know me, okay? They know that I've been in the state system. They know
mm-hmm.
that I have been in state custody before. So it hurt me
right.
to see some kid or some
mm-hmm.
somebody who is overseas, who's someone's kid
right.
get hurt. Yeah, I do feel bad for the family. I feel bad for their loss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to react to what people say. Everyone has their choice. And everyone
right.
can say what they want to say.
Right.
But me, I don't listen to it. Okay.
Right. And you know, it's funny because that's a very good point, Chris, because one of the things that I was going to say, that everybody's all up in arms about the fact that the Constitution protects these people. But the thing that gets me is that we have the flip side of it, because we all know what's going on in Wisconsin right now, where they're trying to take the bargaining rights away from the workers. And again, it doesn't matter what side of the coin you're on, not the issue. But the good point that came up, which I kind of threw myself back, because I teach criminal justice and constitutional law was always one of my favorite topics, is the fact that the reason the unions can protest, it's because of the First Amendment right. The reason I was able to go to the State House on Saturday and show support for the unions is because of my First Amendment right. And the sad thing was that if they had said, no, they can't do that at the funerals, then that meant that the people in Wisconsin couldn't do that either, that I couldn't do that either. And that is so hard to fathom because it's two sides of the coin. But that's the greatness of this country. Even though we might not agree with it, there's a reason for it. And unfortunately, that's the thing that and that's the point that I want to make, that we as human beings have to understand that to every bad thing, there's a good side to it. We just need to look at it. So we could either focus, like I was saying, where we could focus and be totally aggravated with the fact that these people are protesting and all of that and that they can do that, or we can realize that in order for the greater good, the greater freedom, those people have to be allowed to do that. And that's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like your point where you're like, you're not going to bite into it. And that's very important. Because the thing that we forget is that the more attention we give them, the more attention they're going to get. So what
right.
I really wanted to bring up to our listeners is the fact that what can you guys do in order to be more vocal about the rights? So if you feel bad that someone died in war, fighting our country. And again, it doesn't matter what side of the coin you're on. It doesn't matter how you feel about the war or any of that. It's the fact that you guys have to remember this. What can you do to make it better? You know, and I'll give you a great example, which is awesome because at that funeral that I was talking about where these protesters were, there's this huge group of people. I can't remember their name right now. It just escaped me. But what they are, they're retired military, and they're bikers. They're bikies. You look at them, and a couple of them are kind of like scary looking, these, you know, real tough bikies. But they all show up with these huge American flags, and what they do is they form a human wall between the protesters and everybody else that's attending the funeral. So the most beautiful thing you see is just this huge row, a sea of human wall of about 50 to 100 people, men and women, holding these flags at about a couple of feet's arm's length. So very quietly, very dignified, they're shielding the family from having to see these protesters. And what they do is that they stand at parade rest holding these flags, and if the protesters start getting too loud where the family might hear it, they start singing hymns. Like, they start singing, you know, America the Beautiful and, you know, all these other songs. So it's kind of cool. They
thank you, Andy.
Yes.
Thank you, Andy.
Yes, the Patriot Guard Riders, yes. So it, to me, the funeral that I went to was in Wilmington, and to see about 100 of these guys in the pouring rain, and women too, I'm totally forming a human barrier in the most dignified, peaceful way to protect the family from that was just awesome. I mean, and again, it goes to show that's what makes me proud about being an American, being in this country. But just for that note, so remember, guys, I'm encouraging you to, you know what, if there's something going on you don't like what we were just talking about, you could do the flip side. You could be like the Patriot Guard Riders, where they're up there in a classy way, totally offsetting the negative and making it a very positive experience, and that's where we want the attention to be. Real quick, Creative Pink Designs, welcome. I am so excited. All the way from New Zealand.
New Zealand in the house.
New Zealand in the house. New Zealand in the house. I'm so excited. It's so cool. Creative Pink Designs. For you guys that are on Facebook, go check them out. Creative Pink Designs. Befriend them on Facebook. Also, if you are on Twitter, they're there as well. Send them a little shout out that you heard, that you saw them on the Ordinary Woman Show down in the Rough. I want to play a song. For those of you that just joined us, we are going to have the amazing Shelly Nunchucks with her two partners in crime, Billy McLean and Justin Fielding. They're going to talk to us about a couple of great independent movies that they made that they're going to be talking about with some great stuff that's coming up. I don't want to hear anything depressing right now. How about we go to battle? You guys want to go to battle? No, I know what I want to do. I want to play this song. It's called Change, which is very appropriate with the topic we just talked about. So, yeah, I know. Andy has this mental picture of me doing the happy Snoopy dance. Happy dance, happy dance. Wait till we go up live. I swear to goodness, when we go on an audio, a video feed where you actually can see me, like we're planning on doing in the next few months, I will be doing the happy dance. I am very notorious for the happy dance, and I have been known to burst out into happy dance spontaneously when you least expect it. So have no
okay, I guess I got
to
get my tail going.
Yes, get it going. Anyway, this song coming to you, it's called Change, and it's by Sacrifice Ditchy with the amazing vocals of the ever amazing Jenna Donovan. So here you go, guys. Change.
Try to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. Looking
yeah,
for a new
yeah.
life, searching for a change.
Yeah.
Don't look down, gotta keep my head up.
Let's go.
Life seems short, it can only get better.
I've rose to the bottom, the bottom I never liked. Oh, I quickly made it, exit my best as I'm changing flight. I made it bright, my sight's an amazing light. So I try to be my finest, my highest, I made it right. I made changes, a stranger to giving life. But a wife and some children can build it and make it right. I'm making nice two lives, I'm living twice. Once was long ago, the other is really nice. I'm searching for a new life, searching for a change. Working like a servant for these merchants for a chain. Searching for a purpose for my service in the game. Now I circuit for my purpose, never nervous when I blaze. I get it working, put my word in for my pain. My verbiage keep me surging when I turn it into gain. I'm never turning, only learning when I aim. So I serve it with a purpose, Mr. Perfect, make it rain.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
Back to the game, walked away cause I maxed out. Went to college road, met some dames and blew they back out. School didn't help, I stayed the same, I had to lash out. Teachers telling me, keep it moving, dog, this ain't for you. My fam waiting to see if the things I say come true. But truthfully in my heart, your boy just stay confused. So Brady dropped the beat, now everybody changed their view. But there's no room on this bandwagon, your man jamming. Less than a quarter mil, I can't have it, I can't stand it. Stay away, I can't manage. This shit bleeds through my veins like guitars from Van Halen. I can't relax, I'm about to put mass back on the map. If you ask some gas, these new rappers is trash. And I ain't saying I'm the best to do it. I'm just saying that my heart's invested in this music.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
made it through the pain. Angels with the halos never waver when I strain. I was trained to never falter, always braver on the range. Overcoming obstacles, hurdling the next. Change the life of crime, using words to be the best. Burning for my courage in the verses that I bless. So it's still a life of crime because I'm murdering this text. Always keep my head up, never looking to the ground. Always looking for a new look, always booking to the sound. Music made me do it, always push it to the clouds. Or the ground that kept me grounded when I pounded on the ground. The vision you never saw, where a life that you live in is bigger and never flawed. The big picture depicted and made us hard. So Jenna, bring us heaven when you singing for the stars.
Hey, we're back.
Wow.
Yes, that was Change by Sacrifice, Situ, and Miss Jenna. You know what it is? I love that vibe when you're like, okay, I'm down. You know, once in a while I get where I'm like, I get down. Yes, I do. I admit it once in a while. And you need to get that out of your system. I've been known where I'm like, all right, I need a couple of minutes to either be upset, cry, or whatever. You get it out of your system, and then you move on. The problem is when we don't move on, when we stay in that rut, and we have to kind of work at it. I remember once listening to a lecture by the incomparable Tony Robbins. If you guys don't know who that is, he's one of the greatest motivational gurus around. And one of the things he said, he's like, if you're feeling sad or angry, put a smile on your face. Go to the mirror and put like the Cheshire Cat smile on your face, and then try really hard to be upset or really hard to be sad. Doesn't work. Trust me, I tried it. And you know what he was getting at is the point that it really takes a lot of work for you to stay angry or upset or depressed or sad. And I'm not talking about people that might have, you know, there are people out there that are clinically depressed. There's a chemical imbalance or there's something in their makeup that causes that, and that's totally different. Obviously, those are cases where we do need to get professional treatment or help or whatever, medication. But the average person, we really do put a lot of effort into being upset. So these kind of songs really kind of pump me up, and that's kind of my therapy. If I get down on myself or there's something frustrating or bothering me.
It doesn't pump you up. It pumps me up as well.
It does. Either that or my punching bag. If I'm really upset, like, you know, what I was talking about earlier, I just punch the heck out of my bag and I'm good. It was funny, though, because for those of you that don't know, we actually live in the New England area, and there's a lot of snow this year. So when the snow, we have a slanted roof. Funniest thing ever is when the snow starts to come off the roof, it sounds like an earthquake. It's like, you know, and the first couple of times it scares the heck out of everybody. After a while, we're kind of used to it. But it's funny because when I'm on the punching bag, a couple of times the kids are like, oh, we thought it was the snow coming off the roof.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I have an announcement for those of you that can't see the chat room. Creative Pink Designs is saying, anyone want to help make a difference today, visit their website, and they have a link to the Red Cross for the people in Christchurch. Now, Christchurch is not a church. Christchurch is actually a town. For those of you that heard, New Zealand was hit by a massive earthquake in the town of Christchurch. That's the name of the town, and they're in desperate need of money and supplies and stuff. The easiest way to do it is Red Cross. Go to Creative Pink Designs for their link, and any little bit will help, $5, a dollar, whatever. And, you know, just remember for those that are less fortunate there, it was a very devastating situation out there. It's scary, very scary. So a lot of people have been basically homeless. Their homes are destroyed and they have nothing. So if you guys have it in you to donate any amount, they'll take it. So go to Creative Pink Designs and look for the link for the Red Cross. That's one thing I recommend. Anytime you guys make donations, make sure it's with a reputable organization. Too many times, unfortunately, are not so nice people that will take advantage of your kindness and will take the money for the wrong reason. Creative Pink Designs, my big ordinary diamond, out to you for doing that. So go to the Creative Pink Designs and look on the link for the Red Cross and help in any way you can. The website is www.creativepinkdesigns.com. Check them out, and you can, if you're in the chat room, the web link is there as well. Awesome. Now, one of the things that I'd like to let, I wanted to let everybody know, I am so excited. The New England area has really been hit with this Hollywood wave. Some of the, you guys know, there was a lot of movies being filmed here in the last few years, and if you guys watched the Oscars last Sunday, it was kind of cool. Beantown, as we affectionately call the Massachusetts-Boston area, got a lot of props up in there. Christian Bale won. Yeah, Christian Bale got nominated for an Oscar, and he won for portraying Vicki Eklund. And for those of you that don't know who these people are, I know the real Vicki Eklund. Oh, my goodness, is all I can say. Nailed him. Absolutely nailed him how he did. But it's kind of cool for Christian Bale, because this huge star, and he, I have to tell you, nicest guy in the world, down-to-earth, sweet, kind guy. For him to actually not only acknowledge Vicki, but to throw his website out there and say, hey, you guys looking to train, look him up, that as well. Melissa Leo won as well. She was funny. She was so excited. She kind of let a big oopsie out there, and it was funny because the rest of the country said that the bad word, the F-bomb that she dropped, got bleated out. Not here. We heard it in all its full technicolor because we were watching and my son and I looked at each other like, did she just do what I think she did? It was pretty funny. She was so excited she let it out. But hey, but the cool thing is that I found out that this summer there's going to be a lot of other movies being filmed here. For those of you that are Kevin James fans, he's actually going to be filming a movie called Bring the Boom here in Massachusetts. And they're actually having a casting call. So if you're in the New England area, go to bostoncasting.com and look up the dates and times. And they're actually going to have casting calls in Boston, Quincy, and there's one coming to Lowell as well at the VFW post. So if you're in the area, go to bostoncasting.com, look them up. They're looking for all kinds of extras to be on that as well. That's going to be kind of fun. Going to be kind of fun. Also, the Jennifer Love Hewitt is doing her directorial debut. She will be filming a movie based on a ghost story written about the New England area. That's going to be filming in Rhode Island. They're going to be having casting calls for that as well. We'll see other movies coming up. So as soon as I know, I will let you guys know if you're interested in trying it out. It doesn't take much to be an extra. They just make sure you get there early, pay attention, follow direction, and you'll be good. And then you can see if you like it or not.
Really?
Yes. Yes, even you, my man, you too can be there. Like I said, they don't care if you're handicapped. They want it to be realistic. And I have to tell you, having had the opportunity to work with Kevin James, sweet, sweet guy, very shy, very professional. He's not the type that's going to be coursing around and stuff on the set because he's very focused, but really a sweet, sweet guy. Really got to like him on a personal level. That's the kind of person I can see myself being friends with. It'd be kind of cool. And on that note, I think we have a caller. Wait, hold on. I got to do this before we bring. Go ahead. Bring the caller in.
What? No. What are you going to
do? Music. Wait, hold on. We got to give her a theme. Hold on. She got a theme going on here. You know what I mean? We got to let her have it. Where is it? No. We got to find it. Oh, here it is. Ready? Here we go.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. I don't think they're ready for me. I don't think they're ready.
They're not ready for this. We're not ready, but are we ready? Who do we have in the building?
Shelly Nunchucks.
Is that a Shelly Nunchucks?
Welcome the famous Shelly Nunchucks Finnegan. Hello, girlfriend. How are you?
I'm doing good, but I was, like, looking at my Facebook, you know, just looking at it, and said, we need you now. I'm running around, like, half naked in the house. I just got out of the shower, and I'm like, I got the towel on my head.
Oh, it's so funny. I had to play her theme song, because Shelly, it's funny, small world. I do a lot of social media networking, obviously, when you're in this kind of business, and it was hysterical. I don't even know how. I was on some website, and some random person's like, hey, what kind of martial arts do you do? And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Next thing you know, we're talking, but then what got me was that she had this song on her webpage. I'm like, wait a minute, that song sounds familiar. And it turns out that she had the song The Fighter. And the connection is that the song The Fighter was actually done by two of my sons. So it was such a small world that this random woman, who just happened to hit me up, had her theme song was the song done by my boys on her webpage. And fast forward a year later, we wind up working together on a movie. So I'm kind of excited. Shelly, no, I figured, you know, our other guest unfortunately came down with laryngitis, so she wasn't able to be here. We had to reschedule her. So we're like, hey, we'll bring Shelly on early. She knows how to keep the energy up.
Yeah,
so
Shelly,
how have you been doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm like, I'm kind of a little like PO because Maine swallowed my car.
What?
Maine swallowed my car because, okay, now I finally get the main plates. I guess I'm a Maineitarian now. So
yeah.
I have the plates and I couldn't use my car because I didn't have Maine plates and I couldn't drive them with plates. So I finally get the plates. And guess what? The car's like stuck. Like, the earth in Maine swallowed up my car. The tires are spinning and stuff. But, so I'm sitting here going, fine. I says, my car can run, but Maine is swallowing my car. I'm like, what is it with Maine and weather here? It's like a North Pole.
It is insane. I know for those of you that don't come from our region, when we say insane, we are not kidding. I mean, it hasn't snowed here for, a week. Couple of days because we had snow the other day, but it wasn't a major snowstorm. We had like 4 inches. But before that, I still have 3 feet of the stuff in my backyard. It is. I feel like I should grow fins and be like a little penguin in the back, like happy dance, happy dance, happy dance, because I and
no,
you live up in Maine, so it's even worse. Oh,
like
my goodness.
Crap. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here, right, and every day I walk to work. Now, I bet you more than anything, once I get my car on the road, that's when the warm weather will come. I bet you more than anything, and tomorrow, well, I got the insurance and stuff, and let me tell you, Geico does save a lot of money on your car insurance, because I should be in the commercial, you know.
Here we go. No, it's funny, Mountain Man and I are always saying this, we got a running joke where we kind of like keep throwing sponsor plugs to people that they don't even know.
No sponsor spots.
I know. We're going to get like a letter going, stop advertising us, people. We don't want to be associated with you.
We hit
everybody else, but not Geico.
No, my favorite commercial in the whole world with the little piggy going, wee, 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 all the way home.
That commercial drives me absolutely insane.
I'm going to get
you
a little piggy just for Chris.
Well, it drives me crazy, Chris, because the thing is, Shelly does that.
You don't understand. I had my whole office when I'm working full time. I had everyone in the whole office going, wee, 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 wee.
Oh, my God. Remind me not to visit the office then.
And I'm a manager.
Funny. Yeah, no, Shelly does it. She'll go out the window going, wee, wee, wee.
No, no, no.
You
wait a minute. Get it straight. It's not woo woo. It's wee wee. Okay? If you want to do it right, say it right, child.
I'm gonna get it right. I am so sorry. Yes. Oh my God. When I first saw that commercial, that's the first person I thought of is Shelly. I'm like, they wrote her. That's her idea.
Oh, can I tell you?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't get like TV, right? I won't. Mm-hmm. Ever since I moved into my own apartment, I don't have TV. I just get DVDs from the library. So listen to this. Z, right? You know Z, right? That big brother. I go to his house, right? He's got TV, big TV, right? So I was sitting there, and it's like it was a Saturday night, and we're watching commercials, and so the Ico commercial comes on, and it's the little piggy going, wee wee, and I'm like, yay! And everyone's looking at me, and I was like, I don't get teeny much, and they go, we can tell.
Yeah, see, we understand her. So, Shelly, I have to ask you, I mean, you have had just an incredible couple of years in your acting career with some of the stuff that you've done. And one of the things when, for our listeners to understand, when you get into acting, one of the discouraging aspects of acting can be that you can work for a long time. You could put in a couple of years of work and not see any finished products. When you first start going into the industry and you start actually starting to get the speaking parts, and even not the speaking parts, the background work can be discouraging because of the fact that you could actually work on a set for weeks or months, and you're all excited, and you're probably telling all your friends and your family, oh, yeah, I'm working in this movie, and then the movie comes out, and you're not in it. Your part got cut, or it's so quick that it can be, you know, just a blur in the night kind of thing. And that's something that is very hard to get used to because it can be discouraging. I'll give you a great example. For me, my first big production that I worked on was the movie Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson. And that was something I was very excited about. One, because it was a big Hollywood production, got to work with the likes of, you know, Ray Winston and, you know, Mel Gibson and that kind of thing. But the thing for me was I actually worked on the set 33 days. That's huge amount of time. But the irony was that when the movie came out, all my scenes were cut out. So it can be discouraging because, you know, you want to see the finished product. You want to see what it looks like. It's just human nature. So for a couple of years, you could literally do tons of work and not see any of it because that's how long it takes. So, Shelly, for you, you have been at this for a while. You've done a lot of products. And it is until now that you're beginning to see some of the stuff. You want to tell us a little bit of some of the projects that you've worked on and that are now finally coming out into light?
Well, there was one that was called Underground, and the great thing about this, Will Bertrand, I can never pronounce his name right, so forgive me, Will, I pronounce people's names wrong, it's just how I pronounce things, but people will know who he is. He did this film, it took him 5 years to make, this independent film. The greatest thing, which I just can't believe, when I found out it was just like a wonderful thing to me, all the actors, even most of the extras, since this was a fight film, they knew how to fight. So when I was on set, and it was really beautiful. I got to be on this beautiful lake, and on downtime, I got to be in a speedboat and all this stuff. I mean, that wasn't really in the film, but it was just this whole film was beautiful, and it was in a fight scene. Now, I didn't really have any lines, but what's starting to really happen to me, it's like I'm not really in the scripts, but people will be like, they'll put me in there, or I'll blurt out something, and they'll put it into the film. The funny thing is, there was a scene where this guy gets his neck snapped, and I scream really loud, "What the beep?" You know what I mean, right? So the big word, the F-bomb, right? So it came out so loud, and the expressions and everything, the director turned and going, "Shelly, do that again." So they ended up filming it about 10 or 15 times. Now, on top of that, you know, this is the one, it's a swear word. So the film makes it out in California. It makes it in one of the biggest film festivals in the world, one of the top 25. It won awards, and I was like, great. I make it out to California. I mean, I don't plan on going out to California. Stuff I've been doing is going out there. My one line, "What the beep?" wins awards, right? Go figure. So I'm sitting there going, well, this is awesome. So then with, I mean, there's plenty more that I've done, but it's like people take off and some of the work you've done, which you think you'll see, you never hear from them again. And it's like, oh, man, awesome stuff like fight scenes and stuff like this, like little tiny things. You never hear from people, but we always talk about Z, Horace Z. He's has a production company called Unicovia Pictures. And that's when I had my first small fight scene. It was my little Jackie Chan fight scene, and I fought him, and we talk about it all the time. That got shown in the movie theater. So now another film the guys that are going to be coming on tonight, Bill McLean, which is another martial artist, and I'm going to be working with him again. He did a film called Scooter Magruder. The thing is, you and I, Charlie, worked on this set, and from what I heard, I had the best line in the whole film. It was just a short thing, but the way I said cars in the film, everyone loved it. I was like, see this one-liner. Bill said I had the best line in the whole entire film. It was a short scene, and I'm like, wow. Now, this is coming out April 2nd in a film festival in Auburn-Lewiston area, and I'm like, man, this is really close to, like, where I live in Westbrook, and I'm praying that I get my car on the road so I can go to the film festival. And you better come up, because April 2nd is on a Saturday. No excuses. Get up here. I'll have to kick your butt. I don't care if you are a black belt or not. I will kick your butt.
No, it's funny, too, because people don't realize, and that's 90% of being in the industry. Like, you guys have to understand, if you're serious about being in the acting industry or being an actor, you have to have a certain personality where it has to be fun. And it's funny because Shelley has the ability, there's a slippery slope. There's that side of acting, of actors that can be obnoxious and overbearing, and they have to be the center of attention no matter what. Or there's the side that they're just so funny, or the stuff they say pops out, that the directors like it. And it's not something you can do all the time. It's not something that's common, like, in a quote-unquote big production setting. But it's very common in the indie market, because these are independent artists, and they have, they're more flexible. And that's the thing with Shelley. She has the, you have this knack to be able to bring out the personality, your personality, into a character that you're creating without making it obnoxious. I have to share with our listeners, and Bill can talk more about it when he comes on. When we were filming Scooter Magruder, the funny thing was that, see, you can make any scene be yours. Because I remember there was a scene where we were all, and I got to work with her, we were in this scene where we were in an auditorium. It was supposed to be recreating a game show. And we're in the audience, and it was hysterical because it's dark, you can't really be seen, and then the game show host comes on and he starts talking and everybody's supposed to be clapping. Well, Shelley yells out, "I love you! I want to have your baby!"
Oh my goodness!
It was so funny. Everybody busted out laughing, including the cameraman and the director. So they had a cut, but they're like, you got to do that again. Because the look on the guy's face, like the game show host, and you, this is when you can tell that it's a great actor, because he kind of gave us this look like, what the heck? But then he played it off like, yeah, baby, call me, and, you know, threw her a kiss and stuff. So it really added to the scene. But it's just that ability to do the improv and to be able to bring out that character. Another thing that I've noticed, Shelley, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about this, and this is very evident in inventory, which we're going to talk more about. How do you have that ability to be able to create a character, even a small part or a non-speaking part, and make it so real that it becomes very important to the storyline, where they actually embellish on it and make the lines bigger? What do you think it is that you do that has that happen?
Well, maybe it's because every actor's cut of nuts in a way or something. It's something where you can't just be a normal, average human being to do acting. But the thing is, for growing up, when I, you know, maybe I didn't have a happy childhood, but when I went to see a film, I was in a theater and everything, all my problems went away, and I saw films, and I'm sitting here going, you know, I don't have to be the pretty girl. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to do things. I don't care how stupid and crazy I look. If someone's having a bad day, they come see one of my films, they laugh, then that's what matters to me. That's the outcome I want to get. Okay, you can beat me up, throw me over a bar, make me dress in all kind of funny things or whatever. I don't care what I look like. I mean, I won't go naked, but, you know, I'll be like, you know, whatever you want to do to me, yeah, I'll just do so I can make people feel better. That's what I want to like showing films. That's what mm-hmm. I really want to bring out. I want to bring out the best craziness I can. And when I got a copy of the DVD of Inventory, I am so scared of my character. I was like looking at it because I sound like a truck driver. No, it's really, really like really vulgar. And I swear, if you had Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei, if they had a child, it would be Jackie. And the thing is, that's the name of my character. But through what Justin Fielding did, the director of Inventory, he took something I love. He took the love of, I love Jackie Chan and want to work with him, and he put that in my character. So I was yelling,
right.
My character's name is Maria, and I kept yelling through the whole film, don't call me Maria, call me beep, 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 Jackie. Like, it's just going on. And just the vulgarity, if you see it, it will scare you. I'm going, when I started going, oh my God, I didn't know it was that bad of swearing, but it's funny because it's a big, huge monologue, and I don't even know when I breathe. I just keep going on and on. Like, you know how Matt Damon did in Good Will Hunting? He'll keep going on.
Yeah.
That's what I, like, did in this film. It's, like, got that feel to it. And it's, what is it? It's a slacker film. It's, like, the Clerks kind of Breakfast Club kind of feel. And we're trying to, like, get attention of Kevin Smith, the director that did, like, Clerks. And I'm actually doing this little side project. And hopefully, you know, it's something I think he would, like, really understand, because it has that feel of the slacker feel, and we don't want to do our jobs. And we're in this big, huge furniture store. It was huge. It was like, oh, it was so awesome. And we were up to like 2:30 or 3:30 in the morning. I had to be back and work at 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, I'm gonna kill Justin. I'm gonna, like, this director kept me up to 3:30 in the morning. I gotta be in at work at 5:30, and I'm like, oh my God. So it was just like an amazing kind of feel that it finally got done after 2 years. And when I started, I am doing a lot of lines, doing these things, picking up furniture, climbing up ladders. But the person that I work with, this guy Quentin James, he was my partner counting the inventory in the warehouse, and it was like a yin and a yang feel to where he's very composed and relaxed, and his expressions are priceless to everything I do. When it's like the way he's looking at me and stuff, and I'm just like going off and talking about all these hideous jobs I've had my whole life and how, you know, what most people go through. And I think how people relate to it is people have to work these really crappy jobs, but they have to bite their tongues, and they wish they could say the things that what I'm blurting out, they were like, whoa, you know, because it's like what people have to deal with in life. And when they see this, they'll be like, yeah, that's how I feel. I'd like to get it out. But they can't lose a job because they have to pay rent. They have to do all these crappy, like, people have to work at, like, you know, some fast food places. And it's, like, not where they want to end up in their lives when they're, like, 40 or 50 years old and they're working at these places. People don't think that their lives are going to go that way, but it's the economy. And when I do this character, I hope people relate to it because they probably really want to go off to customers in real life, but they can't, you know. So that's very true.
Because it's something that it's actually kind of funny that it's coming out now, because it's something that people can relate to. So shall I hold that thought? For those of you that want to get a look at the trailer, it's actually up on the segment page for this show. So you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled W-M-N, and it's right on there. You can click on it and take a look at that. The trailer for Scooter Magruder is there as well. So we're going to actually get joined by Bill and Justin in a minute. I'd like to take a little break here to play one of our songs. This is called Atomic, and it's by the Pisces Project. So this is one of Shelley's songs. So I hope you enjoy this.
The goddess know that you made your choice. Cast your circle for the win. Clap three times, move your feet, and let your dance begin. El animal que vive dentro de ti. Help you be yourself, clear your mind, and set you free. Don't you hesitate, the energy won't wait. Speak the words to the one you emulate. You gotta do more than read, folks can't help you see. Not that hard, just repeat after me. Desde allá hasta aquí, anima, aparezca.
Yeah.
And we're back. And that was the Totemic by Pisces Project. We're so glad that you guys continue to join us for the second hour, where we have the house full with our guests. We have the incomparable Bill McLean. We're going to have Justin Fielding. And, of course, Shelley will come back real quick. Housekeeping, we have the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN, if you want to come and join us and come into the chat room. Also, the call-in number is 1-347-989-1473. Or if that incurs a charge for you, you can call us on our toll-free number, 1-877-907-7217. Thank you so much for joining us. You can also listen to us on iTunes, or you can listen to us on your smartphone through your mobile app. Real quick, just to remind everybody, we have Creative Pink Designs in the chat room. They're calling us all the way from New Zealand. And just to remind everybody, if you're feeling generous and you want to help out, as you all know, New Zealand, the town of Christchurch, that is a town, was hit by a massive earthquake recently, and they are in desperate need of supplies. So if you want, you can go to Creative Pink Designs, www.creativepinkdesigns.com, and there is a link there to the Red Cross where you can help out. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. If all you got is a dollar, they'll take it. As I said, any amount will help. Also, thank you to everyone that's still in the chat room, Andy, Betty, Bob, Brenda, Degree, Guest 12766, Welcome, Keith, Robert, and Rosemary, and Starlight, and William, and everybody else that is not in the chat room. Welcome. I am so excited that everybody is here. Mountain Man, who do you have for me?
Okay, I have one thing to say, okay?
Only one?
What? Well, a couple of things, but that's beside the point. My first thing is, I love how I go to screen two calls, then I come back to this music, and I'm like, what in the world is this music? Am I on the
it's
right
kind of
show?
Concerning, because if you've ever done this, what it is he has to screen the calls to make sure it's not some lunatic that wants to kill me and starts wearing a blue streak on the phone on air. So he's screening the calls, so he can't hear when I switch over to the music. And I think, oh, I'll give him a little break with the music on. So can you imagine you come back and you're like, okay, where'd everybody go? There's music on.
I come back, and I'm hearing this music. I'm like, what is this? Am I still on the right show? Now,
I know,
here's
right?
My question. Here's my question before we bring Shelley, Justin, and Bill onto the show for this last hour. Could somebody please tell me what that music was?
That is called Totemic, and that is done by Pisces Project. And Pisces Project, for those of you that know, is comprised of Ahura Z and the incomparable Sinari. That's his wife. And of course, they're backup dancers. And it's kind of based on the old art. It's kind of a thing to help get you in tune with your token. For those of you that have the belief that everybody's represented by a token, like an animal. For example, some people's token might be a snake or a tiger or, a cat. It comes back from Native American teachings and teachings from other countries as well. So this song was actually done in that, where it's supposed to help you kind of meditate and get in tune to find out who your totem animal is, which would be whatever. And I kind of liked it. It's different. It's got a little Spanish incorporated in there. It's got a little kind of vibe you can dance to, and I kind of thought it'd be different, and I thought it would be cool to play it. Of course, sorry not for warning you, because that's why you're like, wait a minute, they're singing in a different language. What happened?
No, what took me was, it's like, I don't, and again, I'm not one to talk about any other cultures.
Oh, no,
okay.
I just thought it's hysterical, because I just thought about the fact that you left an English show and came back to a Spanish song, so you're like, okay. And we're always
talking
some difficulties we've had in the last month. I can see why.
Oh, my.
I am
so going to do that to you again. I'm going to have to get, like, some French song or German or Italian and then just throw it in there when you least expect it.
No, but I thought it was, like, some music from, like, India or something because, to me...
No.
Coming from,
we're going to have to get you in tune with the different music. Anyway, so, guys, welcome
Charlie,
to joining us. And, hey, who do we have first? Why don't we let Bill and Justin in and see what's going on?
Well, thank you for cutting me off, first of all.
Oh,
now I don't
goodness.
Even remember, so guess what? We're going to bring Justin on, and we're going to be bringing Bill on
awesome.
So we can get those guys on. And do we want to wait a minute for Ms. Nunchucks, or shall we bring her on as well?
Yes, hold on for a second for Shelly. Now, hold on. We're going to get Bill and Justin. Justin, welcome. And, Bill, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Bill, are you there, too?
I'm here, Charlie. How you doing?
Awesome. It's so nice to get to talk to you. The last time that Bill was on our show, I was actually in mid-flight coming. I forget where I was going. It's been that kind of year.
You were coming back from Philly.
Thank you. Yes, I was coming back from Philly. So I had a guest host helping out Mountain Man, and Bill was the guest at that time. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him that much. But I'm so glad you're back. I'm going to start with you, Justin, real quick. I want to ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get into the filmmaking industry?
Well, I'm a little older than most of the people I work with. I'm in my 50s, and I guess for me, being kind of a young man during the 1970s, which nowadays people kind of realize was a golden age for movies, and at the time it really felt like one. You know, I worked moonlighted at a movie theater and just, you know, got to see all the movies. And, you know, every week there was something, you know, whether it was, you know, Spielberg or Scorsese or De Palma or Coppola and, you know, just all this just really great cinema that we remember very fondly today as well. And so it was just such an electric period that I wanted to make movies, you know, which certainly as a kid, like everybody else, enjoyed movies. But it was just such an exciting art form. And actually in 1979, I went to NYU's Summer Film Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
1979 is a year that, you know, when I mentioned it to people like Shelley, cast and crew, they're like, you know, some were maybe alive, a lot of them weren't. And I wanted to go into movies. And then I ended up going into computers like a lot of people instead. And a few years ago decided, okay, you know, you're not getting any younger. You just have to start making movies now or you're never going to make them.
Right. So what was your first project and how did you get going?
Well, the first one in sort of my adult or my later adult life making movies was a documentary about a very charismatic bowler. And it's called Dwayne's Big Game. And in some ways it's been very hard for us to live up to it because people love Dwayne's Big Game, which is a documentary. It's just, you know, it's just people grooved on it. He's just a really cool guy. And the premise was he's at the time anyway, he was a Boston firefighter. And he tells the story about how he saw a tattoo on another firefighter's arm, and it was a bowling ball and two pins and the number 300. And he asked the other guy, what's that about? And he said, oh, it's a perfect game. You can't get one. And so it's a story about his own personal quest to bowl a perfect game. And actually, I have to credit my daughter for it, who we originally were going to shoot a fictional film about a bowler, and we were in the back, and it was really cool. One of the nice things with movie making, even at a very, very low budget level, is people will open their doors to you a lot of times. And so,
yes,
you know,
they do.
Everybody just wants to, you know, see, you know, how do the bowling pin setters work or whatever. So we were in the back shooting, like, all the mechanisms and footage like that. My daughter was talking to Dwayne, and he told this story, and she said, this is what your movie should be about. And we thought about it, and she was right, and that's what we did.
That's excellent. Now, see, that's the thing that's amazing to me, that a lot of people think that, okay, this is something that you have to do, you know, right out of high school or you get into it. But when you're passionate about something, this is something that you can continue to do.
Now, Justin, hold on a sec. Now, Bill, you, on the other hand, you were an actor first?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and how did you get into the aspect of filmmaking?
Basically, do a lot of auditions, running around, trying to get the next role. You know what that's like, don't you, Charlie?
Oh, yes, very much.
Well, I very quickly noticed that there were a lack of roles for guys anywhere from 35 to 50 as far as roles
mm-hmm.
go. Plenty of roles for young guys, you know, 18 to 22, plenty of roles for guys over 50, very few in between. So I started writing scripts with people of all ages because I like to involve a nice, like a normal cast where you go through normal life, you see people that are 18, you see people that are 40, you see people that are 70 and 25. And so making a story
mm-hmm.
around those kinds of people, I just thought was kind of fun.
So when you started writing scripts, okay, for example, when you started writing, did you see where these were going to go? Or what did you actually see yourself not only as the screenwriter, but also as the one that was actually going to direct it? Or were you at first thinking, let me write a script and see if I can shop it around?
I was just thinking, write a script and shop it around, find someone that'll shoot it, and let me act in it. That was my first thought.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get to the point where, okay, we're talking about the movie Scooter Magruder. We've talked to our listeners about, also told them that the trailer is on our segment page. They can check it out. How did you come up with that concept, and how did you get it to go from, okay, an idea, putting it on paper to actually creating the movie itself?
After I wrote it, I shopped around. I found some people that were, you know, pretty talented as far as with a camera, things like that. So I started talking to people and get things put together. We decided to go ahead and film the film. A good friend of mine, Vanessa Novak, said, hey, let's just make it. You know, why are you waiting
mm-hmm.
for money? Why are you waiting for this? Let's just make this film. It won't cost that much money to make it if we're just shooting on weekends and things. So we did.
Mm-hmm.
We sat down and started planning it out. First thing you got to do is get the locations. We got the locations. The casting was next. We did a fun little casting. Close to 100 people showed up, and they were all actors. Very few people that showed up
mm-hmm.
were not already actors. So it was nice. It was nice to have a choice. Of, you know, make a tough choice on who gets what. And we have a stellar cast in this film, yourself included, Charlie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Shelley Nunchucks is also in the film in a scene with you.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun little scene that you guys had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we shot the film. We finished it. It took another year and a half to edit, to get it right. We sent the sound out west to get it done professionally by Quentin Stevenson. He goes
mm-hmm.
by the name of Hugh. Guy's amazing. And
mm-hmm.
We put it all together, and we just last week entered into the L.A. Film Festival, which is the Lewis and Auburn Film Festival. It's the same
mm-hmm.
Same letters as the L.A. We sent it in just hoping that they would accept it. They had over 200 submissions, and out of those 200 submissions, they chose just over 100 films to show in the actual festival. And this is an international festival, by the way. It's not just Maine. This
mm-hmm.
is with movies in there from Scotland and Ireland
yes.
and all those places all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
We were accepted, and to my surprise, I got an email the other day that said, your film, along with four others, have been chosen for Best Feature Film for the festival.
Now, that's amazing, and I got goose pimples right now because the average person does not understand the driving force that has to be there to go from an idea to what you just told us right now. And I want to hold that thought because I want to come back to that. Now, Justin, you yourself, the movie we're talking about, Inventory, that Shelley is in and she was talking about earlier, what was the inspiration for that? And again, for you, how did you go from idea to script to a finished product?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, and you know, people always ask where ideas come from, and, you know, this idea came from my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing the most mundane thing in the world, putting away dishes, and that might have had something to do with the idea, which was I was remembering back when I used to work retail,
how inventory was like the most mundane thing in the world. I mean, you know, if anybody's done an inventory, you know, like frankly the kind where you lock the doors, they usually pair people up into teams. Maybe they pair you with somebody you don't like or doesn't like you, you know, and, you know, it's just a different day. And the other idea that clicked about, you know, that nobody done a movie about an inventory that I know of was how much like Breakfast Club it was. Because in Breakfast Club, you have the most normal situation in the world, kids at school, the teacher, but it's an abnormal day because it's a weekend detention, and the usual things that fill up the day, lessons, going from class to class, talking to other students, you know, all those things are nominally gone. Of course, they do talk when the teacher's away. But it seems very similar, and for a slacker comedy, maybe more in the sort of the realm of, like, Clerks, where things get a little kind of wilder, and Shelley can go off on a tear with four-letter words and things like that. So it's a little more adult, you know, in that sense, or maybe juvenile, if you look at it, than a John Hughes movie would be. But putting a cast of maybe slightly older slackers, you know, 20-somethings, you know, young 30-somethings, into the work environment where they really don't want to be and where they have this super, super dull task to do, I figure, like in the Breakfast Club, in that situation with so little stimulus that maybe the characters start interacting with each other. Again, Breakfast Club is a really good example of a movie that's structured like that.
Right. Now, the other thing that I noticed about your film is the chemistry between the cast. I know that Bill talked about when he had the casting call, there was over 100 people that show up, and that in your experience, how did that work out for you? Did you have a casting call, or was basically people that you knew? How did that work out?
Well, for this movie, which is our second feature, and we've done, you know, coming on 24 shorts, you know, so we've built up almost like a repertory company of people we bring in from movie to movie, you know, people we like to work with and like to work with us. And so there wasn't too much. This one, I don't recall us doing any open auditions. Shelley, in fact, and Quentin, whom she mentioned that she is teamed with as an inventory counting pair in the movie, they actually auditioned together for a previous feature, and both of them turned out to be too busy in the days we were shooting. So, like, you know, a year later, when we were developing inventory, we're like, boy, we'd really like those two. Let's bring them back in. And so we'd already seen the chemistry, because the way we did the auditions for this other movie, which is called The Observer, was we put them together. If we had, critically, if a man and a woman would come in, we'd set them up as a pair, and we had a couple of little improv exercises for them, because we love to use improv in developing stories. Sometimes shooting improv on camera, sometimes not, but we love improvisational actors because they make me a better writer. You know, I'm lazy, no wonder I did a slacker film.
That is so funny. Now, you completed your film, and did it get into film festivals or any of that? What have you done with the marketing of the film itself?
Well, we just finished the film 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So we've been sending it to festivals. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, hats off to Bill, by the way. That's really cool, because there are a lot of movies going to festivals. And I don't know that we're really festival bait, you know, because we're not about, you know, saving the rainforest. And there's some festivals that want really gory things or whatever. So, you know, so I look forward to seeing it. I look forward to seeing your film, Bill, because, you know, it's just a comedy, you know, that doesn't have, you know, a niche in a festival. It's got to be pretty good to get in.
Thank you. I was thinking the same thing, and maybe they're just hungry for just plain comedy. There's so much of the gore and so much of the tree, you know, don't cut the tree down stuff. I agree.
No, and you know, it's true, because one of the things that I've noticed that, I mean, there's New England, it's funny, I forget where I was in Philadelphia, I was at a filmmaker's thing, and one of the things that one of the guys said to me, he's like, oh, you people in New England just love your zombies and love your vampires and love your gore. And it's so true, because it's funny, I've always had like a love-hate relationship with zombies, because it wasn't like really something that I loved or liked. But it wasn't until Walking Dead came out that I became a fan. But it seemed that every time I got an audition for something or someone reached out to me, because of my military police background, they wanted me. But every time I showed up, there was this zombie component to it. So it's kind of like been there, done that kind of thing. And, yeah, there are some good ones and there's some not so good.
So I think that these type of films that you two have produced, I think it's kind of hitting back to that, we want to laugh. We don't, you know what I mean? We want to not think about the economy, not think about divorces, not think about the war or all this unrest going on. We just want to escape for a little while into a fantasy world that you guys are going to make me laugh. Now, do you think that, for example, for you, Justin, do you think your film, as long as it's taken to get here, is at the right place at the right time for what's going on now?
Well, you know, but certainly because, you know, a workplace comedy, I mean, you know, what, one of the things we wanted to do with this movie, in order to have it be really mundane, like a detention, was, you know, it's really tempting to do, like, it in a record store, like Empire Records, or a bike store, a place that's fun. And we wanted to find a place that's really mundane. And we went with a discount furniture store, and we had the world's best location experience. I mean, it's just we shot in Norwell, Mass, at a place called Mattress Warehouse 1, and the Thompson family runs it. And on top of just letting us do whatever crazy stuff in their store at all hours of night, Dave Thompson, not the film critic Dave Thompson, he'd be interesting to put in. So we talked about, well, maybe we'll give him a cameo role because he's a very funny guy, kind of a dry but a little silly. And then we like started developing this character and got bigger and bigger and bigger. And he doesn't come in till the last third of the film. And the number of people who just love him in the movie. We just had a SAG actor, Screen Actors Guild actress, who actually runs an event they have in Boston called Filmmaker Shindig, where actually we met one of our cast members for this thing. And she was over watching the movie, and this guy never trained, never been in anything, never theater, no nothing. She is laughing hysterically and saying, "This guy's crazy." You know, and so we like that. We like that serendipity. Just somebody comes into your world, and you know they're funny, and they're really sincere in their comedy. Because that's, for us, that's the big thing. You know, we don't do, like, you know, I mean, some of our stuff's very broad. Like, again, you know, Shelley describing her characters just off the wall. I mean, you know, you've had Shelley on as a guest. So I don't need to say any more. And we just really brought in Shelley kind of with her personality and let her loose. And just, you know, rather than say, oh, you know, go, you know, play a Jane Austen character or something like that. You know, we wanted to be somebody who waves nunchucks around at work, you know, who swears like a sailor, who is obsessed with Jackie Chan. And, you know, and she's bigger than life. She's bigger than life in person. And I think she brought that to the movie, and it's a lot of fun.
But, okay, and the thing that I have to mention to our listeners on both your films, because I was personally involved with Scrooge McGruder and just what I've seen from you and stuff that Shelley has told me. I have to tell you, from watching the trailers from Inventory, I busted out laughing because when the girl or that person jumps on the platform thing with the wheels, and she just scoots across the back, I busted out laughing because I remember doing that at work. That is something that I remember. We used to have the I can't remember the name of them, the carriers with the wheels that they used to use to bring the stuff from the back, the loading dock to the storage area. And I remember I used to work late at night, and I remember the guys being bored, and they would, like, literally ride across with the stuff. So that cracked me up. And then the part where the lady opens the underside of the bed where there's the drawers on the captain's drawers on the twin bed, and there's a person in there. Hysterical. See, again, something that I've actually seen done. So it's kind of funny because I think a lot of the components you put in there, you're right, they're not larger than life. There's nothing in there, including Shelley with the nunchucks and all that, that hasn't actually been done at work. Or everybody can relate to that person that's larger than life in that.
Well,
so it's something that's funny, but it's something that you can relate to. Now, is that what you were going for, Justin, when you were writing that, or is that just the way it took direction?
Well, I'd like to invite people to check out a couple of websites because I think they'll get a feel for what we're doing with the movie.
Absolutely.
People go to inventorymovie.com. Inventorymovie.com. It'll take them to the homepage of the site, which is real simple. You can watch the trailer as you can at your site. It has a list of the cast and very, very short description. but there's a link there on the right side to the blog where we're telling all the stories, you know, each cast member talking about how their character was created, and also the music. I have to talk, I couldn't talk about inventory without talking about our music.
Right.
I'm a fan of a kind of music that's it's known by people into the genre as power pop. And
mm-hmm.
But what really is music for people like me who never got over the Beatles. You know, just think that is just the height of just fun, makes you happy music. And so a lot of these bands are not successful. They're not, or at least they're successful in a kind of a cult sort of way. I put together just, you know, all this music with just great help from these artists who, you know, for no upfront money, put together this absolutely wonderful music. And so, and particularly like in the last half of the movie, because, and I should tell people, I mean, of course, right now you can't really go see it because we're trying to get into festivals and all that, and eventually we'll have it available for, you know, buying a DVD, watching it online, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But when you see it, you know, particularly like the first half, because they're slackers, they're very lazy people, it's really more conversational. It's really just getting to know these people and what their quirks are and their wants, and eventually find out their secrets, and pretty much all of them have some secrets. And
mm-hmm.
in the second half, where things get into more of an action framework, it's just wall-to-wall power pop music, that kind of Beatles, Badfinger, just make you feel good to be alive kind of music.
Right, see, and that's what I like, because it's funny, because before the show, my son, he was a film student, and he's a screenwriter as well, and one of the things, we always critique movies, we talk about different movies that we watch. He was mentioning that Clint Eastwood movie that came out Hereafter, and one of the things we discussed about it, because I had seen it first and he hadn't, was the lack of character development. When I go watch a movie, whether I like the movie or not, if the characters aren't memorable, if I can't relate to the characters, or I don't understand the characters, or there's no connection within the characters themselves in the movie, that to me is a bust. Because I could see the worst movie ever if I like the characters. I'll give you an example, Dragonfly. Horrible movie. The critics panned it, didn't make any money. But the character development in it, I cared about Kevin Costner. I cared about his dead wife. I cared about these visions that he was seeing. So that's the reality. Where you took the time, and the way you did it, just from what I've seen from the trailer, trailers are quick. You took the time to have me as a, you actually made me part of the crew. It's like you made me feel like, yes, I'm there. I'm also doing inventory so I can understand what is going on. And that's something that's so rare sometimes in movies. And for our listeners, this is why I am so passionate about getting everybody to know about our independent artists and our independent musicians and filmmakers and screenwriters and actors, because it's so good, some of the stuff that's out there. And it's props to you for having taken the time to learn the actor and put some of their own personality into these characters and make them so real. Now, our listeners, www.inventorymovie.com, the link is on our chat room, and there's a link on the right side that'll take you to the blog where it talks about the movie and the character development as well, so you guys can get more information on that. Real quick, Bill, I have a question for you. Now, Bill, your movie goes the other way, where it relies a lot on visual, kind of like, reminds me of the old Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin kind of genre. Is that what you were going for, or what were your thoughts going when you developed the movie?
You are really good. That film, when I wrote the script, I was heavily influenced by, growing up, I was heavily
mm-hmm.
influenced by Jerry Lewis, mm-hmm. Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett,
yes.
You know, Red Skelton. My mom and I love those kinds of films and shows. So yeah, the comedy and Scooter will take you back to the golden age when things were, you
mm-hmm.
know, genuinely funny just because they were funny.
Right.
We decided when we shot this that it would be a physical comedy with emphasis on the physical. There's also verbal comedy, and there's enough in there to interest people today. We found a way to work in the youth of today into the script as well. So it's got a little bit for everybody, but I guarantee if you see the film, you will laugh at something.
Right. Now, I have to ask you a question, Bill, because this is something that I've noticed that is very common nowadays, and Justin can probably relate to this as well. What is considered funny in some movies? Not so much funny. It's kind of like crude. They're going for that crude, uncomfortable kind of laughter thing coming out. And there's a problem where you're trying to have a funny character, and I've seen this in some movies, where the characters lose their humanity and they become caricatures instead of people that we can relate to. So I'm going to ask you first, Bill, and then I'm going to ask Justin. So how did you manage to have the balance to make these characters funny in the Jerry Lewis, the Lucille Ball kind of way, and have them not lose their credibility as human beings, where they weren't just caricatures, but they still stayed as real people that just happened to get into funny situations?
That's a really good question. When I wrote the script, everyone tells me I'm good at telling stories. And in order to tell a story, you have to come up with, you know, viable characters, characters that people will believe. So when I wrote Scooter, to answer your question, mostly through attrition, because I put 45 characters into this film. Most films have, you know, 10 to 17 maybe. We have 45 different characters in the film, but it's because it evolves around this one guy and what he does in a day or a week or a month. And, you know, some people see a lot of different people in a day. When I made those characters, once they started interacting with one another in the script, the comedy just sort of came out. It honestly, the physical comedy part, just there's always a way to slide something like that in when you're doing the character. So I don't want to say it was by accident, because it wasn't, but mostly through attrition, I was able to use different characters to portray different types of people. I guarantee you'll be able to relate to someone in the film. Maybe three or four characters will relate to each individual person. But yeah, there's a lot of slapstick, but you're right. You never lose sight of the people actually being characters. Probably the most caricature-esque characters in the film are the brothers, the Carey brothers. They're still real people, but they are probably the most caricature-like in that we needed to make some heavy bad guys in the film, but we needed to make them funny, so that they kind of fit into that description of what you said. But everybody else, you can sort of understand, and you don't lose sight of that character. There's actually a little bit of drama in the film. There's a very interesting character played by Olivia Goncalves. Her character, the way she plays off of me in the scenes, you laugh, but her character really is quite sad when you think about it. So it's a lot of fun.
Yes. And it's funny too, because like I said, noticing the balance for me, even the two characters that you talk about, I have to admit, I actually know someone that's like that, where they take yourself so serious as like, you know, this big, tough, macho kind of person kind of thing, that they do wind up becoming a character sort of in real life. And one of the funniest things is that I remember, and again, this was before the film was even in the can or you had even started filming it. I remember after having read the script, relaying some of this stuff to my husband, and the one thing he kept saying is, "That poor bastard." He's like, everything just happened to this guy. But at the same time, it was cool to see that even getting it secondhand, he was having empathy for this character, feeling bad that, wow, this poor guy's a decent guy trying to get ahead and he just can't cut a break. So it goes to what you said. You have this really good story. Now, Justin, in your case, where you're going to the other extreme where you have these slackers, what did you think was your formula for making them believable?
Well, we took a what I guess you could call a very backwards approach to doing the movie, which is something we've been kind of developing for a while, and I feel like we've gotten to a point where, you know, maybe we've learned a thing or two. And as I mentioned, we like to work with improvisational actors. And ordinarily, the way you build a film is you get an idea, you write a script, and then so you have these characters in your head, and then you bring people in for auditions and say, yeah, that guy's kind of like him, and she's kind of like her, and, you know, maybe we can, you know, get them to be like what we imagined, or they'll be something different than we imagined, and that's the usual way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we did instead is we had the idea that before we wrote any script, we assembled the cast. And right. we asked each cast member this question. What character would be fun for you to play and fun for people to watch you play? And mm-hmm. so instead of sort of, you know, having a story and then trying to bring some humanity and depth to the characters, we had great characters. And then my job, you know, and I feel as a writer I'm stronger with story and plot and editing and all that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and these great actors and improvisers, they're better than I am at creating characters. And so let right. them kind of build up their characters, and I'll kind of run around chasing after them and figure out, well, how does this coalesce as a story? So that's I mean, so it was very, so I'm glad you know, even in the trailer picked up on that, because we really, really wanted a story that was very rich in character, because I felt like I could catch up to them in terms of giving you, you know, a plot that was that brought it together.
No, and that's very true. And the thing is, that's the problem that's the challenge that I see, that in the trailer, sometimes it's very difficult to get everything that you want to kind of get people interested in seeing it. And that's something that I want to cover real quick. When you did the trailer, how do you decide what goes into it to get the gist of your story across to get me interested to see it?
Oh, great question. And because, you know, trailers are so important, and you know, especially in independent film, you've got very little time to grab people's attention, and that's the first thing you put up. So you shoot the movie, you work, and you're editing the thing, you're doing all this stuff, and that's the very first thing you put out to the public. And the first step was you try to figure out, you know, what are the parts that are fun or the illustrative of what the movie is, and are really, really quick. You know, mm-hmm. and because, you know, 5 seconds in a trailer is a lot of time. You know, you've just got to get the jokes have to land, the emotional things have to land, the context has to land. It just has to be really, really fast, or people just lose their attention. So it's just got to go very, very, very quick. So those are the first things that take.
Right, and Justin, not to interrupt you, but I want to ask you a cool question about that.
Yeah.
Even with the fact that you just said it's something real quick, you got to bite them in, you still took time to incorporate some of that character development to introduce us to the people in the film. Why did you think that was important to the overall story?
Well, I think that's really what, I mean, the movie is really about what it's about. And I mean, and a lot of comedies, and frankly, probably easier to market comedies, are star vehicles. You know, people always say, oh, did you see there's a new Jim Carrey movie, a new Adam Sandler movie? They often won't remember what the name is. They certainly don't remember who directed it.
Right.
You know, and so, but I find myself very attracted to ensemble stories. I like working with a lot of actors and having them interrelate with each other. I find that a lot of fun, even though I think it is a challenge to market. But I think that, you know, I mean, Breakfast Club, they had five main characters, five students. We actually have nine clerks, a store owner and a store manager, plus the furniture delivery guy mentioned, played by the store owner, plus a woman who is a real-life tarot reader who comes in and does a tarot reading in the furniture store in the middle of the inventory count, and a couple other characters. But I really felt like even if we couldn't define all nine of those clerks, you know, it's basically the idea is these are people, they're kind of fun, they're sarcastic, they might be, you know, sexy or rude or, you know, whatever their characteristics are that, you know, when you watch a slacker comedy, you know, like, you know, with Harold and Kumar or, you know, Dude, Where's My Car or Clerks or whatever, the whole idea is like, wouldn't it be fun to be hanging out with those guys? Yeah,
right, exactly.
So if you don't get that, you really don't get what inventory is.
See, and that's the thing. That's what I like, because the trailer was, you said it's quick, but at the same token, you're right. I could actually see myself, you know, yeah, it's mundane doing inventory or whatever, but it'd be kind of fun hanging with these guys because I got to connect with them in that. And that's a testament to the editing and how you guys put it together. Now, Bill, in your case, how did you decide what you wanted to put into the trailer to be able to do justice to what the story was about?
That's an easy one, actually. To do the trailer, I looked across the room into my wife's beautiful, gorgeous eyes, and I said, baby, you make a trailer for the theater? And she said, yes, baby, I'll make you a trailer. And then she made the trailer.
And I'm glad you mentioned her. You want to tell us a little bit about the genius behind the editing?
I'll tell you what, my amazing wife of I don't even know how many years now, 23 years. 23 years. She has been with me through thick and thin. She's the most amazing woman on the planet. She's beautiful, talented, she's smart, and she edited the entire film by herself with a supercomputer that we bought. And when it came time to do the trailer, I said, baby, make a trailer, and she sat down and started doing things, and she does pull me in, and she goes, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? I put in my 2 cents worth, and sometimes it's a good 2 cents, and sometimes she slaps me. But it's all good.
Yeah, it's true, because one of the things that I liked about the trailer for Scooter was the fact that right away you made me like this guy, and you made me feel bad for him. Like, really, dude? Could you not cut a break? I mean, like, the part where he lands into this pile of goo, and he's just got this expression on his face like, my life sucks right now. But you feel bad for him. It made it real, and I just like all the other. So it made me want to see more, and I think that's, again, that's a testament to the editing and stuff. So real quick, because I can't believe how quickly time goes on, and I want to get Shelley back on here. Bill, you want to tell our listeners, I have the website up in the chat room, www.lafilmfestival.org. That's where it's going to be. You want to tell them times, dates, and what's going on with your project?
Yeah, that would be great. April 2nd at exactly 1:15 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn in Auburn, right next to the river. This building is right over the falls that everybody likes to drive and see. And it's right next to the bridge which separates Lewiston from Auburn. So you get your L.A. It'll be playing at the Hilton Garden Inn at 1:15 p.m. on April 2nd. It will be the first official public screening. We are working on a red carpet premiere. We're not sure if we can get it before that screening or after, but it is going to come. So hope you got your dress out and ready for it.
I got my dress. I told my husband, I am getting me a nice dress because this is like the first. This will be my first because, like, we were talking earlier before you guys came on with Shelley that as an actor, you can work for years before you have the opportunity to actually see yourself in a finished product or to have your family see it, no matter how small the part is. So I'm kind of excited because this is like the first one where I'll be like, yeah, kind of thing. So I'm very excited. So definitely you're going to keep us abreast on that. So the Lewiston Auburn Film Festival, 1:15 to April 2nd at the Hilton Garden in Auburn. So definitely that will be the first public screening for Scooter McGruder. Do not miss it, guys. You have the opportunity to go down there and check it out. And, Bill, you will definitely keep us abreast of what's going on as far as the premiere, the red carpet premiere that we're going to get to see.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I certainly will. I'll keep you informed. I can't wait for this premiere. And if you folks out there that are listening want to come and see it, we certainly could use your support when you go. There are 5 feature films up for Best Picture, Best Feature Film, People's Choice Award. And how cool would it be? Well, it's amazing that we even got nominated. That's my first feature film we shot 2 years ago. We've done a lot since then, but this was our very first baby. And to enter one festival, which is an international festival, and get nominated just blew me away. If we could win, I'd probably have an aneurysm.
No, and you know, it's funny for me, this particular movie, I have to say, is kind of like, I'm very attached to it because I got the opportunity to read the script when you and I met on the set of Edge of Darkness. And the visual description of the script is what got me because you're an amazing writer. You put me in the moment. And as a matter of fact, for those of you that check out the trailer, there's a snippet where a Scooter is trying to get rid of these bees in an attic. And when I read it, I saw it exactly the way you filmed it. And I tell you know, I started cracking up hysterical when I was reading that, which is kind of funny because I'm sitting by myself in the corner in this huge holding area and people looking at me like, what the heck is she doing?
Was like, what is wrong with that lady?
I know. You know what is wrong with me. And, I have the script under on my lap, and every few minutes I'm, like, cracking up out loud because it was so good. So you're absolutely right to be able to see it. I mean, I'm excited for you. I can't imagine how you feel because this is your baby to see it to go from point A to point B with all the challenges in between. To get it to where it is now, it's got to be an amazing feeling. Now, Justin, with you, the movie is now finished. And what plans do you have for it, public screening, any of that?
Just wanted to tell you something about it, and also I'll try to be quick so we get a little time with Shelly here. It's always fun. We actually just today announced it's a private screening, invitation only, but if anybody's in the Boston area and would like a free ticket, it's because some festivals don't want you officially to have had a premiere anywhere, so we're doing a little bit under the radar, and it's at the Regent Theater in Arlington, Massachusetts. It's going to be on April 12th, 7:30, but in invitation only, and you can, if you ask me, send me an email, justin@castparty.com, C-A-S-T-P-A-R-T-Y, like the cast of a play, castparty.com. Ask for a pair of tickets. I'll be happy to just say you heard us on the show, and be happy to give you a couple passes to see it. You know, we'll see how we do with festivals. We'll probably go into self-distribution at some point, you know, later this year. And we'll certainly be, you know, whether we get into festivals or not, we'll be arranging screenings of various sorts. With Anna Boston as our home base, and then maybe going to city to city. And, you know, we're getting some really nice feedback from a lot of folks, people saying they watch it over and over again. I think Shelly, last count, she'd watched it 14 times. And also not even just people who are in the movie. That, you know, we packed a lot in. Maybe it's a little maybe it's a little slow burn at the beginning. You know, so you stick with it, and then so much comes together, and you just really feel like, you know, you've really learned something about some people that, you know, you know didn't exist until you saw them in this film. So I'm very proud of that. Again, the music, you know, I'm hoping if we get some traction with the movie that it'll make sense to come out with a soundtrack album on online and on CD. A bunch of the bands are in it. Please do that, because it is a great collection of music. So happy
that
to be associated with it.
That would be a great idea. Now, real quick, Justin, give me the link again if people are interested in getting tickets for the private screening.
Yeah, if they want the private screening, it's email me at justin@castparty.com. And I also wanted to mention one more link, and actually pass this on to Bill. I don't want to put you on the spot so you can do it or not do it, but I've recently started a new blog, and it's called tellmeaboutyourmovie.com. And this came about right after finishing inventory. You know, so your movie's in this little limbo. It's done, and then you're going to send it to festivals and looking to see what happens. But you want to kind of tell people, say, hey, I made this thing, and this is what I learned, this is what went right, this is what went wrong, and just tell your little story. And I looked around, and I found the indie film blog. First of all, a lot of them weren't indie at all. It was all Oscar picks and or the high-end indie, you know, what movie with famous TV stars is in Sundance, or, you know, or how-to stuff, which is great, you know, or, you know, whatever. I didn't find a site that, in an uncritical way, just says, hey, dear filmmaker, come here, take your bow, you made your movie, tell your story. Not an interview, not a review, just a place to tell your stories. So we've just started this in the last couple of weeks. I posted, I think, 4 filmmakers' logs. I just got a wonderful one today from a guy I really admire. Did one of the best really, really low-budget movies I've ever seen, a guy named Jay Reel, who did a movie called Dawn, which is a black-and-white horror film that's really more of a character story about a father and a daughter, and the daughter's a vampire. Recommend this movie very highly. It's just really strong on character, very touching, and just not what you expect in a low-budget horror film. And we'll be putting up his story there tomorrow. And so, Bill, I'd really like to invite you, if you'd care to, and if you want to write a little thing about your movie, links to your website, you know, put your trailer in, and I'd love to invite you to be one of the first people on this tellmeaboutyourmovie.com.
Sure, sounds fun, man. Can you friend me on Facebook and send me a link?
Yep, I'll try to look you up here. I hope you're easy to find.
Trust me, Bill is easy to find. Bill, you can find him anywhere. So that's a great concept. So for our listeners, www.tellmeaboutyourmovie.com. If you've created a movie, hit them up and see if you want to share that with you. Mountain Man, want to bring Shelly in the room real quick so we can have a little party here before we go out. And just to our listeners, thank you so much for all being here. We have Justin Fielding, who is the driving force behind the really funny movie Inventory. And we also have Bill McLean, who is the the creator of Scooter Magruder, and has done it very well justice, has done it a lot of justice to bring it to life. And Shelly, I think, is going to be considered the good luck token. Shelly, are you in the room? Shelly, I have to ask you real quick. You got, like, the golden touch. It seems that every time you're in a movie, good things happen with that movie. So share real quick, because we've got only a couple minutes. How was your experience working with Bill and Scooter Magruder?
Oh, my God. He's considered one of my bros. He's like, he's awesome. He carries me around like a sack of potatoes. And it's just so much fun. And I'm going to be working with him again, and I can't wait.
It's funny because for those of you that are listening, you heard Shelley's Boston accent. And that was one of the things that made her character so funny in Scooter Magruder, because her like this real thick Boston accent, she just hammed it up even more, and it just made her character so much fun. And she talked earlier about how much fun she had working with Justin and in Inventory, and how he took the time to develop her character and help her make it real. So for all our listeners, remember www.tellmeaboutyourmovie.com if you're interested in sharing your movie, if you've created one and would like to tell the world about it. Also, if you're interested in going to the private screening at the Regent Theater in Arlington, you can email justin@castparty.com for more information on that. As well as Bill's film is going to be at the Lewiston Auburn Film Festival on April 12th as well. At 1:15 p.m. So you can go out there and check it out. Try to make a day of it. I think that'd be kind of cool. We'll go to Maine, check Bill's film out, and then come on back down to Boston and party hardy and check them all out. So, yes, thank you so much. And, of course, Shelley, as always, it's a pleasure to always have you on the show. You're always so funny and entertaining. And I really hope I get the opportunity to work with Bill again. I'm kind of looking forward to getting back on the ground. Been traveling so much, I haven't had to the opportunity to do as much acting, and Justin would definitely love to audition for you someday. I really like the way I really like what you're doing out there. You make those movies really fun to look at, and it looks like it was a blast to work on them.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to do it.
Justin, anybody you'd like to give greetings to now that you're on the show?
I want to thank Shelley for telling me about the show and inviting me in. You know, the whole cast and crew of Inventory, I don't know who's listening in tonight, but this was a super collaborative effort, and just, I think even more so than the average movie, and I really can't do it without you guys, and also the wonderful bands that contributed to it, and, and finally, the people, and now I guess Bill's going to sign on too, sounds great, on the Tell Me About Your Movie site. But, I should mention, which I didn't before, it's for people who've done indie feature films. So if you've done a movie that's 45 minutes or longer, those are the movies.
Right.
But, keep doing the short films too, guys. Those are, they're wonderful. And finally, with YouTube and all, there's really an audience for them, really maybe for the first time ever. So, everybody making movies, keep doing it. It's, I would say there's two ways to go through life, making movies and not making movies. And given the choice, I think there's one way to go.
Right. And Justin, also, if you want, have the bands that contributed to your movie contact me, because I would love to have their music put into the regular rotation. Would love to have them on the show as well. We have them have the opportunity to talk about themselves and how they got into music and that kind of stuff. So that'd be kind of cool. Bill, any greetings you'd like to send out to people?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to say hello to my kid sister, Marsha. She's been listening to the show. I'd like to say hello to my mom. And to everybody that was in the cast and crew of Scooter Magruder, because we got the nomination, baby, and we're going all the way.
I love it. My favorite part is that I get to buy a dress, and I have a reason to buy it, and my husband can't say anything. But it's a red carpet premiere. I need a dress. No, you guys, I have to tell you, it was such a pleasure to have you guys on the show. Bill, it was an honor working with you. Always love working with you. Hope that I can work with you for the rest of my life. Absolutely love your wife. She is such an amazing human being and such an amazing person, just beautiful person and very talented, like you said. And Justin, I definitely look forward to getting the opportunity to work with you in the future. Shelley, any greetings you have for anybody?
there's so many in so little time, but, you know, like I always say, if Jackie Chan's listen, hello, hello, I'm here for Troy. Happy New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. And Big Brother, Horror Z. Z.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Justin and Bill. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't wait to work with them again. And quick thing, Justin, make sure you send me 2 passes because I was in the film. Don't forget.
Are you going to come to Boston?
What is it, April 12th? What day is it?
Yeah, Tuesday.
I'll have to ask for it off. If I can get my car unstuck.
I mean, I have to make a trip to Maine to go get Shelly for the 12th, which is on a Tuesday. And April 2nd is the screening for Phil's Scooter Magruder in Maine as well. So to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. As always, it's been so much fun to have all of you here. I love the comments in the chat room. And just to let you guys know, the contest, the question was, what is my favorite place? And our winner was Andy. It's Tuitbrook, which is one of our old sites that we used to go drill when we were in the guard together. That was one of our training sites, and I just love that place. And, yeah, that was one of my favorite places, and he guessed. So he's actually going to get to do a half-hour segment because he actually guessed one of the questions a month and a half ago as well. So I'm going to be really excited to see what he comes up with. So remember, guys, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away, and nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible to the willing heart. And I will see you all off. Hope you have a good week. And for your pleasure, here you go, Can You See by Miss Kristen. Good night, everybody.
Get in my eyes. Can you see a light that shines when you look through me? The light in my eyes. You hold the key for me, baby. Yeah. You act so cool. Pretend to be preoccupied. I can see you catch my eye. Afraid to take the only risk. Try it once now, kiss my lips. You know you want to, don't hold back. Baby, be brave. Relax and look into my eyes. Can you see when the feeling comes, you gotta look to me. Foolish game, a lover's tag. Baby, be brave, don't hold back. Desire has me mesmerized. I'm feeling the craze, I won't compromise. You know you want me, don't hold back. Baby, be brave, relax and look into my eyes. Can you see, it's all alive with sincerity. Love is belief in you, baby. Yeah. Look into my eyes. Can you see a light that shines when you look through me? A light in my life. You hold the key for me, baby. Yeah. Look into my eyes. Can you see my soul alive with sincerity? In spite of the times, my love is belief. And you, baby.